We're at Yitzchak of Pesach.
No, not really. I mean, it's an experiment, but now at the at the very beginning of Pesachim, the Mishnah says, "Orli Arbos or Bod Kim Esachomix Liaran Ner," and we have machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that the reason for Bedikas Chometz is Kadesh Lo Yavar Olav V'Bal Yirah U'Bal Yimotza, that we have to avoid the violation of two Lavim in Torah. Tosis disagrees because we have a principle called Habodik Torah Sheyivata. So the premise therefore is that he fulfilled his obligation and he was Mevatel Chometz. If that be the case, there's no violation of Bali Rabbi Yimotza. You can't tell me, says Tosus, that the reason for Bedika is Bali Rabbi Yimotza, because he's already circumvented, he's already avoided Bali Rabbi Yimotza through Bittul. And he's required to do Bittul. Tosus also brings another proof against Rashi from a case of Kikar Mishmei Korah, where you find that you have a piece of bread up on top of a rafter. You need in order to get to it, you'd have to get a ladder and go up. And the Gemara vacillates as to whether or not we should be afraid that if he doesn't go up with a ladder and get and bring down that kikar, it might fall on its own and then he might come to eat it. So Tosfos says, you see clearly that the reason why the Gemara thinks in one side that he has to climb up and bring down the kikar is because he might come to eat the kikar in the event that it falls down. The Gemara doesn't mention a word about Bali Rabbi Yimotza. According to Rashi, the Gemara should have been up in arms. How can you leave this kikar up on top of the rafters? You own it, it's edible, and therefore you violate Bali Rabbi Yimotza. And therefore Tosfos comes to the following conclusion, that in fact, the institution of Bedika has nothing to do with Bali Rabbi Yimotza. But rather, Shema Yavoli Ochlo. That if Shema Yavoli Ochlo, that you might come to eat it, because if we allow you to leave the chametz around and you're used to eating it the whole year round, that's called in the language of Tosfos Lo Bedila Min Hayinshi, you might very well come to eat it. Now the Ran, if we open up to the Ran, I think I gave that out to you a few days ago, see if you can find it. In his presentation regarding Bedika and Tashbisu, he comes to the conclusion, according to Rashi Shita, that the Torah offers two options, and Tashbisu can be fulfilled in one of two ways, either through Bittul or through Tashbisu, literally meaning check for your chametz and destroy your chametz. Now it means that as far as the Torah is concerned, there's not just bittul, but there's also bir chametz, a destruction of chametz. And therefore, if we put bittul on the side for a moment, then your option now is to check your house, and the Torah requires or haner, that's derived from psukim, and you look for the chametz so that you can destroy it. That's the way the Torah has it. Again, it's not the only option. That doesn't exhaust all your possibilities. You have another option called bittul. But assuming there was no bittul, then you need bedika and birut. And that's what he says here in the paragraph that starts, Elokach hu ikron shel dvar. Zesha amr Torah tashbisu yochel iskai bi echa bi beiz dvar. There are two ways in which you can fulfill the Torah's requirement of Tashbisu. The first possibility, the first alternative is Shivatlo Belibo. Yivatlo Belibo called Chomet Sheyesh Bershuso. Whatever Chomet he owns, he should be Mavatalit. Yotzi Edomi Machshavto. Bimachshavto Birishuso. Vesagi Bahachim in the Rice. The Torah says that's okay, that's sufficient. Even if you know that you have chametz, but it's not yours because you mevatel it. Oh, now the Torah gives you a second alternative. Im lo bitlo belibo klal, if he did not engage in bitl, then tzarech ben haTorah sheyivdok achra b'chol makom shuragil lehimotzei sham v'yavarenu min haolam. then he should look carefully in any place where he brings in chametz during the course of the year, find the chametz and destroy it. And with regard to this biur, we're going to have a machlokus exactly how you destroy it. Is it through fire? Is it through other means? That's going to be machlokus tanoim in the second chapter. However, if he did bittul, that would be another option. That would certainly prevent him and protect him from Bal Yoreh Bayim Matzeh. But Rashi, when he says, Bodkim es hachometz kidei shelo yavra olu b'Bal Yoreh Bayim Matzeh, hanu b'misha eino b'vatl. If he's not going down that path, he has not taken that opportunity which the Torah gave him to do bittul. Avol b'misha b'vatlo, had he decided to opt for bittul, is sagi b'hachi. The Torah would have said that's fine. Ella, he says, that the Rabbanan did not want to go the Bittul way, down the Bittul path, if you can call it that. Bittul zeh toli b'machshavton shel bnei adam. Bittul depends upon the individual. V'ein deyosei en shavos, and no two people are the same das. V'efshar, and it's possible, nevach sheyakilu b'kach lo yitzienu milibo legamre. Maybe he really won't have a sincere, genuine, complete bittul in his heart. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Rohu Chachomim Lahachmir, Shalo Yaspik Bittul, not to rely on bittul. The Chachom made a declaration, bittul is unreliable. The Torah relied on bittul, but we're not going to rely on bittul. We're firmer than the Torah. Because we know that people are not necessarily going to achieve bittul, even though they said they did, maybe they give lip service, but they're not really sincere about it. Therefore, it's Richu Bedika. They preferred the first alternative, which is the Torah, Tashbisu, do a Bedika, and then Bir Chavetz. And again, the Torah says that's fine, that's sufficient. Oh, there might be another reason why they insisted on Bedika and not relied on Bittul, but Neshah Choshu Shem Yishe B'Tok Beso Yovel Yochlo. Again, that's not Rashi Shita, but the Rashi Shita is that, you know, you might say, well, let's not rely on Bittul, because Bittul might solve the problem of Bal Yoreh Bayim Matzeh. It's not going to solve the problem of Achila, because he's used to eating this the whole year round. Umashma, the Tana de Masnisen, lo boy Bittul klal el bedika. The simple reading of the Mishnah seems to assume, or imply very strongly, that you could fulfill your obligation through bedika. You know, there's no mention of bittul. Bittul, there's no footnote here in the Mishnah about bittul. Ubahachi sagilin. Lefi shemikevan shebodak. Once he makes a bedika, yotzi dechovasam. Bedika is reliable. You know, bedika doesn't have any ifs, ands, or buts like bittul. You know, bittul ain't there saying shavas. You don't know what he's thinking. Is he sincere? V'im shema yimtza achak luski yefeifa, and if you're worried about maybe he'll miss a piece of chometz, a beautiful piece of chometz, and he'll find it on Pesach, yivar readily out there, he'll immediately destroy it. So that the Torah relies on bedika. And now the Ran goes on to present, this is my first shiur, my opening shiur on Monday of this week, this philosophy of HaTorah Somcha L'Chazaka, and there's no Bal Yoreh Bayim Matzeh L'Mafreya. So I don't know, were you here on Sunday? Yeah, so you may, on Monday, I think we covered it, on Monday.
Sunday, you remember.
Now, let's take a look at the Pnei Yoshua. Now, this is a page which I photocopied for you. In the first paragraph, he summarizes Rashi and Tosfos. And in the second paragraph, he summarizes the Ran that we just saw inside. And in the third paragraph, he introduces the Pnei Yoshua. Now let's try to understand what bothers the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is coming to solve a problem. What is that problem? And the answer is the following. That the Ran, in his defense of Rashi, assumes that in the context of the Mishnah, we're talking about the following scenario. He does not do bittul. And therefore, all that the Mishnah can talk about is bedika. And if there's no bittul, then the purpose of bedika is to prevent him from violating Bal Yoreh Bayim Matzeh. Now, this is a little bit problematic because the Gemara says, as Tosis quotes it, that Abodei Tzarech Shiavata. That in order for a person to fulfill his obligation, he has to do not only Bedikah, but also Bittul. And once again, if he does Bittul, there's no Yisur Bal Yorabai Matzah. So the Pnei Yoshua suggests something based on the Ran, that the concept which Tosis, the sugya which Tosis quotes, Habodik Tzarech Levatel, is only a statement in the Gemara. It's what you call a takana me'ucheres. It's a later takana. That at some point in time, the Gemara says, we're not, you know, the Chachom said, we're not going to rely on Bedikah, maybe he'll miss a piece, and therefore we want Bittul. Habodik Tzarech Levatel. But as far as the Mishnah was concerned, at that earlier period of time, there was no such takana. The Mishnah did not recognize the obligation to do Bittul. So Rashi, therefore, assumes that our Mishnah is talking about a case of someone who does Bedikah without Bittul, because as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there's no requirement of Bittul. The requirement is one and only one, namely Bedikah. So now everything seems to fit into place. The Torah itself allows two different possibilities of Tashbisu, either Bittul or Bedikah. The Chachamim are going to require, even after Bedikah, Bittul. However, that requirement was only instituted post-Mishnaic, at the time of the Amoraim. That's what the Pnei Yoshua claims. And therefore, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there was no requirement of Bittul. So let's assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a person who opts for what the Torah calls one alternative that the Torah recognizes and validates, namely Bedika and Biur. And now the Mishnah says that if you're not opting for Bittul, you're only opting for Bedika, and from the Mishnah's perspective, that's fine. You don't need Bittul, all you need is Bedika. So Rashi plugs in Kadesh Lo Yavrol of Mbali Rabbi Matzah, because since you didn't do Bittul, you must do Bedika, because if you don't do the Bedika, you're going to violate Bali Rabbi Matzah. Whether it's Mesasik or not is a different question. So the Pnei Yoshua says, now I understand Rashi very well. The Mishnah doesn't consider the possibility of Bittul because the Mishnah doesn't recognize the necessity for Bittul, and therefore the Mishnah is addressing the case of Bedikah without Bittul, and therefore Rashi is absolutely justified in introducing Bal Yerubayim Matzah, because if it's Bedikah without Bittul, then you're going to violate Bal Yerubayim Matzah unless you get rid of the Chametz. But now we have to face another sugya. And that is the sugya that Tosis quotes as a raya to his shita, that the reason why Chachamim imposed or enacted a chiyuv bedikah is because of shaviyam liyachlo, because the Gemara says that if you have a kikar b'shmei korah, and the bread is up on top of the rafter, the Gemara wants to know, should we be afraid that he might eat it or not? As long as it's up on top of the rafter, he's not going to eat it, obviously. But if it falls, if the wind carries it down, he might come to eat it. And that's what the Gemara says. So you see clearly that the Gemara is operating with the requirement of Shemiyom Liyachlo, with the Svara and the Gzera of Shemiyom Liyachlo. Says the Pnei Yoshua, fantastic answer. The Gemara is not talking about Bedikah at all. The Gemara is talking about someone who's looking at a piece of chametz on top of his rafter. Bedikah means I don't know if I have chametz. But if I know I have chametz, then I have to destroy that chametz for a different reason. Not because of the laws of Bedikah, but rather because of the Shemi Yom Liyachlo. So then, now we have two categories, or two cases. One case, Rashi is going to say Shema Yavar Bebali Shalom Yavar Bebali Rabbi Matzah. In the other case, it will be Shema Yavar Liyachla. What are the two cases? If it's Chometz She'eni Yodua, I don't know where the Chometz is, then we're talking about Bali Rabbi Matzah. I may have Chometz, and then it's in my possession, it's in my house, I violate Bali Rabbi Matzah. When do we have the other Chashash, and we're going to require that you get rid of the chametz because of Shemiyom Liyachlo? That's the case where it's chametz yedua. He's looking at the chametz; it's in front of him. He doesn't want to leave it around. Say the chacham say you can't leave it around because you might come to eat it. So in the case of kikar b'shmei korah, are we dealing with bedika? No, because he's looking at the chametz. Yosef, you look like you're not so happy with this.
No, it's good. I'm fine.
Let's go over it one more time. The Pnei Yeshua says that Bedika was instituted because, as Rashi says, Shelo Yavala Bayrobe Matze, that's Chametz She'eni Yadu'ulo. As soon as he's looking at a piece of Chametz, then he can't talk about Bedika. Then Bedika means look for Chametz that you don't know exists and find it. Rather, you're talking about a whole different set of rules and regulations. Namely, you have chametz in front of you, and now if you leave it around over Pesach, you might come to eat it. Rashi would not deny it. So the case of Kikum Shmei Korah is not addressing the Bedika scenario, but rather the Shema Yom Liyachlo issue. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, Rashi over and over again says Shema Yom Liyachlo, but only in cases where he sees the chametz in front of him. So for example, Rashi on Daf Vav is going to say that if you find chametz on Pesach, kofal of a kli, you have to cover it over with a kli because shem yavo liyachlo. Again, it's chametz yadua, it's not bedika. Rashi says on the vav, if the akum comes and he puts his chametz in your house, in your living room, I don't know where he put it, then Rashi says that you have to set up a mechitza yudfachim high between, you have to set aside the chametz in a separate rishus. And Rashi says Shem Yavo Liyachlo, because again, you're talking about Chametz Yadua. Now, in the case of Chametz She'eni Yadua, why does Rashi reject Tosfos of Shem Yavo Liyachlo? Says the Pnei Yehoshua, because number one, I don't even know if I have Chametz. Number two, even if I have Chametz, who says I'm going to find it on Pesach? And number three, even if I find it on Pesach, who says I'm going to come to eat it? So your chashash tosis of Shem Yavo Liyachlo is built on three possibilities. It's a svek. Why? Because will you find chametz? Do you own chametz? Number two, will you find the chametz? Number three, will you eat the chametz? So Rashi didn't buy into the Shem Yavo Liyachlo. The Shem Yavo Liyachlo is not going to justify a new mitzvah called Bedikas Chametz. But if you see the chametz in front of you, in your possession, now we have to worry about Shem Yavo Liyachlo. If I don't know I have chametz, I may never even see the chametz. If I don't know I have chametz, it's very possible I don't have any chametz. And in event that terribly I have chametz, who says I'll ever see the chametz? So now you're going to worry about Shem Yavo Liyachlo, but I can skip a few steps if I see a piece of chametz in my house. Then there's a Shema Yavo Liyachlo. I don't have to go through somersaults in the air and maybe this and maybe that and maybe that. So in a classical Bedika case, which means you don't know that you have chametz there, Rashi's not going to tolerate Shema Yavo Liyachlo. What? Maybe he has chametz. Maybe this. He'll find it. Maybe this. All the maybes. But in a case of chametz yadua, Rashi would certainly agree that you got to get that chametz out of your possession because you might come to eat it. That's the brilliant chapter of the Pnei Yeshua. Now, if you look on the left column, he says the following. Why is it that we want bittul in addition to bedika? After all, if the purpose of bedika is to avoid Bayiro Bayimotze, that he can fulfill that achievement, that goal, by doing Bedika, why do you impose on him an additional chiv of Bittul? So the Rad says, because Bittul is very subjective, right? And we're not sure that he'll be absolutely committed and genuine and sincere in his Bittul. Oh. So if you look in the paragraph on the left column that starts with Tiritz HaPnei Yehoshua, he quotes this Ran, and he points out that according to Rashi, there's no chiyuv bedika because of Shem Yavo Liyachlo. Because again, that's built on three different sfeikos. Number one, will you have chametz in your shoes? Do you? Number two, will you find the chametz? Number three, will you eat the chametz? Shem Yavo Liyachlo is rachok ma'od, according to Rashi. He can't accept Tosfos that we would justify the enterprise, the requirement of bedika, based on Shem Yavo Liyachlo, when you have to combine all these fakers together. However, if you ask why is it that we don't rely on Bittul, after all, the Ran holds in Rashi that there are two options, there are two alternatives, as far as the Torah's Tashbisu is concerned. You can either employ bedika or you can employ bittel. But the chachamim are not going to be happy with bittel, because to rely on bittel is very iffy. And the chiyuv bedika is going to apply even in a case where he did bittel, because the chachamim are going to say that we're not going to rely on this bittel. Shema lo bittel yofa chemzo. So the whole mission is predicated on the absence of bittul, or on the non-reliance of bittul. What do I mean? If you hold like the Pnei Yoshua's first approach, namely that at the time of the Mishnah they didn't have the institution, they didn't yet enact that habodik tzorchi yamata, so that from the Mishnah's perspective, bittul is not really relevant to you. But if you don't accept that, says the Pnei Yeshua, I can still defend Rashi. Rashi's going to tell you that even after the takon of Habodik Tzorchi Yavatel, nevertheless the Chacham are not satisfied with that bittul. They're not going to rely on that bittul. And therefore, if they don't rely on this bittul, we get back to the problem of Bayur Bayi Matzai. Hence, Rashi says the Bedika was inactive in order to prevent Bayur Bayi Matzai. But we're still not out in the clear over here, because again, if the Mishnah, according to Rashi, recognizes the two valid options for avoiding Bal Yoroh Bayi Matzeh and fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisu, namely either Bittul or Bedika, then why does it totally ignore Bittul? You know, flip through Masechta Pesachim. You know what I mean? Go through the Mishnayos. Let's flip through it very quickly. Okay? And I'll show you that there's no bittul. Well, why did the Mishnah mention bittul? Ah, wait a minute. Let's flip through it one more time. I'm sorry, I missed one Mishnah. Take a look on Daf Mem Tes. Okay? The Mishnah says on Daf Mem Tes, Ha'olech lishchor es pischo, he's on his way to shecht his carbon pesach. And he remembers that he left a piece of chametz in his house, and it's Erev Pesach, it's getting pressing. He says, "In yachalatzo levaro, if he can go back and destroy it, fine. But if he cannot, then yivadlo belibo, all he has to do is bittul." So he finally found one Mishnah Daf Mem Tes in the end of the third paragraph of Pesach that mentions bittul. Now, the first Mishnah is telling you how I should, you know, what I should do in order to be a good Jew and live up to my requirements on Erev Pesach. No mention of bittul. The Torah itself recognizes bittul. Tashbisu means bittul. At least one interpretation of Tashbisu, which is a valid interpretation. Why did the Mishnah omit bittul? So Rashi says, we're talking about a case where he did not take advantage of the opportunity of bittul, and say he's doing bedika, which is another alternative that the Torah recognizes. Bedika with bir chametz. And therefore, shalo yavrol of bal yoroh bayi matzeh. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention the other option of bittul? Very strange omission on the part of the Mishnah. Again, it could be that the Mishnah doesn't require bittul, but the Mishnah should still offer me an option of bittul. It could be that the Mishnah requires bittul, and takana was habodik tzorchi yavatel, even at the time of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is not going to rely on your bittul. But chach bittul should have been mentioned. That's very odd.
It's only mentioned in Mem Tet as a bidiyavad situation.
Right, very urgent situation.
It's impossible to do anything else.
Right. So why is that? I mean, so now we can answer the following. Dehine, do you see that paragraph? He says, "Midaraisa mahani o bedika o bit." There are bana veinon gam bitul vegam bedika. So on a deraisa level, you have two options. On a drabana level, you have to do both. The kasha, she bechala mishnais b'masech the pesachim lo muzkar din bitul el beperek revi daf mem tes haholech lishchon es pisko v'nizkar sheish lo chametz. And there it says, Mevatlo Belibo. Why is it that the Mishnah omits bittul? He says the following. If we go with the Ran, that historically the takana of requiring bittul was much later, and the Mishnah didn't recognize that takana. So therefore, he can be yotze his chiyuv and be a good Jew, discharging his duty by doing bidika without bittul. And the whole takana of requiring bittul was only later. The Mishnah would rather address the case of bidika, because as far as the Mishnah is concerned, even if he would have employed bittul, he would still be required to do bidika. Bidika is an automatic and absolute requirement. So kevan shebein im bittul bein im lo bittul is chayav bidika. In any event, it's absolute that he has an obligation to do bidika. Therefore, the Mishnah is talking about bidika without bittul. So again, let's understand. Enoch and there are two alternatives. The Torah recognizes two possibilities, but from the Mishnah's perspective, since the Ran says the Mishnah doesn't know and doesn't recognize the requirement of bittul, and in any event he's going to have to do bidika, so therefore the Mishnah chose a case which is what he calls in his language b'chol bako. B'chol bako means it's always the case. Hedifa Mishnah l'tov din bidika mishum shemidina Mishnah mevatel tzorech Shev Yivdok. Now, why is it that I'm a Vatel Tzorach Shev Yivdok? The Ran says, because we're not going to rely on this Bittul. So, therefore, whether or not he does Bittul, he still is required through Bidika. We don't have the institution of Habodik Tzorach Shev Vatel. So, he can get away with Bidika without Bittul, and that's fine. Because the Mishnah doesn't recognize that later takana that requires bittul. On the other hand, the Mishnah is not going to allow for bittul without bidika. So on the one hand, the Mishnah doesn't require bittul, and on the other hand, the Mishnah would say that even though bittul is an option, we're not going to rely on your bittul, because bittul is not reliable. And that was the Ran's thesis. He says in the next paragraph, Achadayin tzarech bir sharei modirash yishigam mishim avatel chayav livdo. If in the case of Kikar Ishmei Korah, we're not going to rely on Bittul, because we never rely on Bittul, then you have a problem. Why does the Gemara say the problem is Shema Yavo Liachlo? V'tzarech Lomar, at the end of this paragraph, Ach. Shehosam kevon shemayri bechametz yadua lo chashishu shelo bittul belibo belev sholem. Whole new psychology. If you don't know whether you have chametz or not, then your bittul is not going to be a sincere bittul. You don't know what you're dealing with. But if you see a real material piece of chametz in front of your eyes, and you realize that you're going to get involved here in very serious violations of Bal Yerubba Yimotzin, then your bittul would be a sincere bittul. So therefore, the Gemara of Kikar Mishmei Korah is not at all interested or addressing the issue of Bal Yerubba Yimotzin. The bittul is reliable. It's only a problem of Shem Yavo Liyot. Now, in the last paragraph here, he quotes the Bar Tnura. I'm just going to mention this new radical revolution in the Bar Tnura. I don't really understand it too well. And he says the following, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he did bittul. So why does Rashi say that he needs bidika because of Bal Yerubba Yimotzin? He says the following, because in case he finds bread, a kikar yofa, a gluski yofefa on Pesach, then he may rescind his bittul. Mm-hmm. Do you see those two words that are bolded? Yimolech mi bitulo. He's going to be mevatel his bittul. Right, it's like Mesiris Moda, which is mevatel mecher, and then you can be mevatel the Moda, which is a bittul on a bittul. So he says here also, you had a bittul on your chametz, now guess what, you find a beautiful piece of pastry, and now you want to rescind and be mevatel your bittul.
Isn't it an instantaneous thing? The minute you look at it, you have that hesitation, and that hesitation
is a bitl on the bitl.
Bal yirai bal matzei, right?
And immediately violates bal yirai bal matzei. So why does Rashi insist that bedika is necessary because of bal yirai bal matzei? And the answer is not the way the Ran said it, because we don't want to rely on your bitl, namely your bitl is not sincere. But we'll rely on you a bit. But we're afraid that if you're leaving all the chametz in the house without doing bedika, there's a good chance you'll encounter the chametz that you left there during the course of Yom, during the course of Pesach. And if you encounter that chametz and it's pluski your faith of a daite iluye, then you're going to rescind and negate and cancel null and void your original bit. Now, I'm not so sure I understand this. That's the truth, as I said before. Okay, he's hesitating for a moment, but therefore he's rescinding his bittul. I mean, you know, maybe he's hesitating to destroy the chametz and so forth, but to say therefore he wants to expose himself to two lava minoraisa by Rabbi Matzi by canceling his bittul, that I found a big fish. Let's look, Rabosai, on Daf Dalet of an Aleph. Because here there's a whole new element with regard to bedika. The Gemara Daf Dalet of an Aleph establishes that bedikas chametz, which culminates in bir chametz, has two different time zones to it. The first time zone is early arbasa, and that's when he's going to do the bedika. The second time zone is the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, midday, when he has to destroy the chametz. So the Gemara wants to know the following. If he's already destroying the chametz midday on the 14th of Nisan, why are you forcing him to be bodek his house on the night going into the 14th? Let's say, for example, Seisak Kochav would be 7 p.m. and midday would be 11 a.m. let's say, because they added an extra hour, right? So you're going to destroy the chametz at 11 a.m. From 7 p.m. is 5, and 11 is 16 hours, right? If my math is correct. You're asking him to be bodek his house 16 hours before he's going to destroy his chametz. Why? So let's see the Gemara inside. Bahashta, this is the two dots about, shall I say, 15 lines down from the top, a little bit less. Bahashta, the kaimel under kuliyama or urtahu, which means everybody agrees that you have to do bedika at night. The Gemara, how many of them, maybe one of them on the yom would hold a bedika by day, but now we came to the conclusion bedika is at night. And the Isser of Chametz doesn't emerge until Sheish Shal Sulamal is Nivdok B'Sheish. So again, if you own your own Gemara and you don't mind making lines in it, just that your eye will catch where we're holding, you can underline the two words Nivdok B'Sheish. Do you see those two words? In other words, at 11 a.m. you should be bodek your house. Now, I don't know if the Gemara means at 11 a.m., maybe the Gemara means a little bit before that, but in any event, you should have plenty of time to get rid of your chametz before the Shas Isur. But there's no need to be bodek the night before. The Chitim, but maybe you'll answer me, is reason makdimim lemitzvahs. Right, Avraham Avinu goes out to the Akedah, he wakes up early. And in Bris Mila, this becomes very relevant. You know, there are all sorts of shaylos in Halach and Poskim. Should we delay the Bris Mila till so and so will come? It's Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. So the Gemara says, you know what? If you're worried about Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, Nivdok Mitzafra. There's no need to be bodek at the night of Orl Yudalit. The mitzvah itself applies, let's say, at the 11th hour, but in and of itself. But because of Zriz Makdim Mitzvahs, we're gonna be mocked in the mitzvah to daybreak, to, let's call it, Hanetzachamah.
Sure, Haner.
Oh, so that's going to be the Gemara's ultimate answer, that either because B'nai Adam Mitzuyim Vateyam at night, or because of Aron Ner, and so forth and so on. But right now the Gemara is not, you know, maybe you'd have to analyze yourself why the Gemara is not, you know, why the Gemara have to wait till its answer to be Machadish that Aron Ner is Yafal B'dika. But in any event, right now we think that we can get away with it, even during the day. But what about Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs? So Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs would mean to start the process early that day, but not necessarily add the, you know, the 12 hours of nightfall. And now the Gemara wants to prove that Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs can only bring Bedika as early as the morning. And how do I know this? Ubayom Ashmini Yimol Besar Orlo. So Vesanya Kolayom Kulo Koshal Mila. Elsh is Rizim Akdim Lemitzvahs. Which means that we're going to do the Mila as early in the day as possible. But we're not going to do anything at night.
Ubayom Hashmini. Maybe Or Yom means day.
Okay, Or means day. I'm not, Yom means day. I'm not denying that. But what about Rizim Akdim Lemitzvahs? You follow my point? In other words, in every mitzvah you have the shascho vaso, and then you have zrizus. Zrizus means let's begin as early as possible. And the Gemara says, let's take the case of Avraham Avinu at the Akedah. It says, Shenemar Vayashkem Avraham. So when did Avraham go out on the trek to Har Moriah? It was only Baboker. State passing Baboker. But why didn't he go out the night before? What happened to Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs? The answer is, there's no Zrizim. No, one wants to know, how far in advance, right, today is Tu B'Shvat, can I already you know, eat my matzah, you know, on Tu B'Shvat? How far in advance can you say Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs? There's got to be some connection between the time zone that you're implementing the mitzvah and the mitzvah itself. You want to go earlier, fine, but there's got to be a connection. It can't be a year before. So the Gemara says that the earliest time for a daytime mitzvah that you can fulfill Zrizim is Tzafra, is with daybreak. You can't go back to the night before. And I'll prove it to you, because Avraham Avinu did not embark on the Akedah until Baboka, until the daybreak. Why did he go out before Mishum Zrizus? Zrizus is only linked up to the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself is to bring Yitzhak on the Akedah as a carbon. The carbon always has to be by day. So start the day with Zrizim and do it the earliest possible time. But to go back to the night before, that far we don't go. That's already too alien, too disconnected from the Shas HaMitzvah. So on both sides, I don't understand something here, this sugi. Set me straight. The Gemara has two cases, two mitzvahs, to which we apply Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs, and in both cases we don't apply it in the night before. That's Mila and the Akedah. Something is off over here. Zrizim Akdin L'mitzvahs means that start at the earliest possible time of the mitzvah. In the case of Mila, when is the earliest possible time to start the Mila, to implement the Mila? No, there's no din of Mila Tzeta Kochvim. If a person would circumcise his son in Tzeta Kochvim, he'd have to do another Mila, which is called Atavas Tamris, the next morning. The earliest time for Mila is a mitzvah sayon. Same thing is true with the Akedah.
The same would be true with
a carbon has to be brought during the day.
The Bedika would be the same thing.
No, what I'm saying is like this. Bedika could be at night, it could be during the day. There's no set zman. The Gemara just thinks, why have to do it earlier? So the answer is Rizim Akdin L'mitzvahs. No, if the mitzvah is on Erev Pesach, Yudal B'Nisan, to do Bedika, do it at night. So you can tell me, but wait a minute, Mila we're not going to do at night. And Vayashkim Avraham is only Baboka. Of course, there's no Rizim Akdin L'mitzvahs. Rizim Akdin L'mitzvahs means implement the mitzvah at the earliest possible time within that time frame, within the what's it called, the the bookmarks, you know, the
bookends
of the mitzvah. So the bookends of the mitzvah is the whole day, but not the night before. The certain mitzvahs are mitzvahs by yom. Then that mitzvah is laila. The very thought of zvizim akdiz mitzvah by laila in the case of mila and karban is a ridiculous thought. It can't even cross a mark. In bedika, fine. You want to do the bedika at night? Very good. Start at night. Zrizim akdim l'mitzvahs. Really, technically, we don't need the bedika right now. In fact, bedika is a very interesting mitzvah because the birach hametz will be in the middle of the day, right when the Torah prohibits owning chametz. So even the daytime is really divided into different parts. Meaning, normally when we talk about, let's say, paradigm example of Mila, we talk about a daytime mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't emerge in the middle of the day, you know, and cut off the first half of the day. You know, with daybreak, the mitzvah emerges. So that's the bookends on this end. So do the Mila as early as you possibly can. The Zrizim Akdila mitzvahs. But what's the halamina that you would do Mila the night before? Mila the night before is pasul treif. It's not worth a dime. It just messes everybody up, including the baby. So I think, again, I'm not happy with what I'm saying, but maybe you can give me a better answer. I think what the Gemara is operating with, every mitzvah has two parts to it. There's the hechsher, that's preparing for the mitzvah, the hakhana for the mitzvah, and then there's the implementation of the ma'isa mitzvah. So for example, the moel has to prepare for the milah. He's got to have a knife, he's got to have whatever he needs, you know, for the baby, you know, to make sure. So he has this bag. Or for example, let's say the moel has to travel. When should he leave his house to get to the shul or wherever the milah is taking place? Now, we go over to the second stage of implementation, the ma'isa milah. So as far as the ma'isa milah is concerned, certainly you need day. You know, to talk about ma'isa milah at night, ridiculous. But as far as hechsher or hachana l'mitzvah, so here we might add the night into the equation and say that the night before the meal, he should already be on his way. He's at the Amtrak, you know what I mean? Or in the case of Avraham Avinu, it's true that the Akedah could only take place by day. The earliest time possibly the Akedah would be in the morning, but the Gemara asks a different question. It says, Vayashkim Avraham Boker, and then he goes out to the Akedah. Why didn't he go out to the Akedah the night before in such a way that he would get to the Har Moriah at the earliest time the next morning? So the Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs is going to be a Zrizus before the Shas Chovos.
Even on the Hachana.
On the Hachana itself. And yet Avraham Avinu doesn't go out to the Mila. He's not even on his way on the trek. I mean, I meant to say to the Akedah. Until daybreak. Why did he wait till daybreak? The answer is because the night is a different entity. You know, it's halachically, you have two units of time. Zrizus only applies within the unit of the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is trying to prove. But the Havamina was that you could have a Zrizus even before the unit of the mitzvah, before the time of the mitzvahs emerge, at least as far as Hachana l'mitzvah. So the mitzvah is comprised of two parts. The Hachana and the Maisa Mitzvah. So let the Hachana be Mizrizus. The answer is no. The nighttime is a different entity. Nighttime vis-a-vis tomorrow's mitzvah is like Tu B'Shvat vis-a-vis Bircha. It's cut off. It's already a different time zone. It's not related. Is Memela, what the Gemara is saying is that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zrizus by starting the mitzvah at the early at daybreak, and there's no need to go back to the night before, again as far as Hachan is concerned, in order to achieve Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs. Now Rabbo say this approach would make sense if Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs is part of the mitzvah itself. What do I mean? The most famous chakira in the yeshiva belt about Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs is the following. Very famous. You know, if you If you know anyone who's learning in yeshiva at this time, just tap him on the back and ask him for the famous Chakira. This is what he'll tell you. Is Rizam Akdila Mitzvah built into the mitzvah itself? It changes the mitzvah, it enhances the mitzvah? Or is it a separate, independent concept of Avas Hashem and Avas HaMitzvahs and Chavivas HaMitzvah? It's an independent element. A general kiyum of Zrizus has nothing to do with the mitzvah itself. And perhaps the nafkamina would be, I'm going to give you a better nafkamina in a minute, so don't get disappointed. But perhaps the nafkamina would be is how early can you start Zrizim HaKdila Mitzvah? If Zrizim HaKdila Mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself, then it has to be implemented within the framework, the time framework of the mitzvah, Shas Chovasa. Then there would be no havamina that you can go back to the Lila of Mila, the Lila of Vayashkim of Ramabu. But if, on the other hand, Zrizim HaKdila Mitzvah is a separate kiyum of Chavivus HaMitzvah, then maybe at least as far as Hachon is concerned, I could start before the Shas Chovasa. And once I've embarked upon preparing the groundwork for the mitzvah, that itself is Zrizim HaKdila Mitzvah. But again, that only makes sense if I take Zrizim HaKdila Mitzvah out of the framework of the mitzvah itself. So here, Abosai, I want to share with you a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. And this Gemara is on Daf Kuf Lamed. I don't know, I think I have a Gemara somewhere here, but I'm not sure. And the Gemara says that there are two options. Okay, so let's go slowly. There are two options of getting the Izmal ready for the meal. So what happens? The meal is going to be performed on Shabbos, correct? We know that Mila is Docha Shabbos. What would you say about the following? And what I'm about to ask you is a machlokas tanoim. The Moel left the Izmal in a different reshus. In order to bring it here, he's going to have to violate Meleches Hotzah. So the Gemara says that this depends on a machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Chachom. Rabbi Lozer says, Machshirei Mila, Doches HaShabbos. Whatever is necessary for the Mila overrides the Shabbos. So if he has to carry the Izmal from one Rishus to the other, he's allowed to do so. Chachomim say, no, only Mila itself is Doches HaShabbos, but not Machshirei Mila. The Gemara says that even Rabbi Lozer would only be Doches HaShabbos in the case of Machshirei Mila if it's EF Shalasel, if it's EF Shal, meaning if there's no other way out. So the Gemara asks the following kasha on Rabbi Lozer. Why does the Izmal have to go to the Tinok? Why not take the Tinok to the Izmal? You remember the phrase about Mohammed and the mountain, right? Oh, so the Gemara says if you take the baby to the Izmal, then you don't violate Meleches Hotzah. Does anybody know why? So the Gemara asks the following. If what?
That he can walk at the time.
Oh, that he can walk on his own? No, I think he goes the other way around, if I remember correctly. The Chaynosius Atzmo doesn't apply if he can walk. Chaynosius Atzmo only applies if he can't walk. Anyway, so the Gemara says the following. That Machshiri Mila, according to Rabbi Lozer, Docha Shabbos, and therefore we're going to allow this. So Tosas says why. So listen to the language of Tosas. Tosas says, maybe John, if you don't mind opening the Tosas here for me, on Daf Kuf Lamed Omer Aleph, Tosas says the following: Kevan she Yoser Bakal Yavi Hakli Misha Yavi Atinok Shari LeRabbi Eliezer. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer is going to allow you to bring the Izmal over to the baby rather than the other way around, because that's easier. But here are the three key words. Kidei lemaher es ha-mitzvah. You hear what's going on? The difference is on the clock. If you're going to bring the baby over to the Ismail, it's going to take you an extra 10 minutes. If you're going to bring the Ismail over, he's on his way. So he saves himself 10 minutes. Kidei lemayres ha-mitzvah, we're going to allow violating the Shabbos. Again, if you take the baby, you don't violate the Shabbos. Chaynosiyasas. If you take the Ismail, you're going to violate the Shabbos. We're talking about a malacha d'orais. And we're going to determine whether you're allowed to do that based on kidei lemayres ha-mitzvah. So what does that mean, kidei lemayres ha-mitzvah? Can you give it to me in another
minute?
Reason like the mitzvah?
Yeah.
Now wait a second. We just asked the following question. What is reason like the mitzvah? Is it built into the mitzvah itself? Or is it some extraneous chibuv? I love the mitzvah of Hashem. What do you see from this Gemara? The way Tosis interprets it. It's part of the mitzvah itself. Because since we have Allah that mil is docha Shabbos, then kidei lemayres ha-mil is also docha Shabbos. Why? Because that's reason like the mitzvahs. The truth is that l'chora, I don't even need Tosfos. It's a Gemara Mefureshes. The Ksugya Menachas says on Daf Ayin Beis that chaviva mitzvah shaita. We have something called hechter chalavim veivarim. So we have a principle called Ola Shabbos b'Shabbatot, that the carbon Ola, let's say the Tomid, is docha Shabbos. Correct? Now, I understand the Shechita is Docha Shabbos, I understand the Zrika is all, whatever you want. You know, the four Avot.
The Korban itself.
Correct, the Korban itself. But now I get to Hechter Chalov Veivarim. Hechter Chalov Veivarim is Kashrim Balayla, which means he can wait till Motzei Shabbos. What forces him to do the Hechter Chalov Veivarim during the day, meaning on Shabbos itself? You're burning things on the Mizbeach, that's called the Malach of Havara. So Gemara says, no. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. That even though I can fulfill the mitzvah of Hechter Chalav and Veivarim tonight, after Shabbos, I do it today. Why do I do it today? Because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, you're going to override the Shabbos. In other words, the Gemara is telling us that to do the mitzvah at the earliest possible time is included in the Hakravas HaKarvan, in the mitzvah of Hakrava. And if it's included in the mitzvah of Hakrava, then Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato. This carbon is docha Shabbos. But again, if you're going to tell me that Zrizim Akdilu Mitzvah is extraneous to the mitzvah, it's some sort of separate entity called Chavivus Mitzvah, then why would it be docha Shabbos? I wouldn't be docha Shabbos for Chavivus Mitzvah. You know, to be docha Shabbos, you need something really heavy. Like Mila, like Pikuach Nefesh, like Hakrovas HaKarbon. But just for the sake of Chavivus HaMitzvah, I'm going to be docha Shabbos. The answer is that the Chavivus HaMitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. And therefore the carbon itself includes the B'shaita. The B'shaita itself, to do it at the earliest possible time, meaning don't wait till night, do it during the day, that's part of the mitzvah itself. If it's part of the mitzvah itself, then it's docha Shabbos. So you see that Zrizim HaKdilu Mitzvah is docha, is part of the mitzvah itself. Unless, again, you know, you can always be very picky unibet and say, well, there's one principle called Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, there's another principle called Zrisa Makdimla Mitzvahs. It is a little bit odd that the Gemara employs different terminology. You know, why didn't the Gemara just use the terminology that we're familiar with and say Zrisa Makdimla Mitzvahs? The Gemara says Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. Sounds like it's Halach and Kodshim. That there's something called the Shaita and Kodshim, and the Hechter Chalom Veivarim, as far as the Shas Chavoso, is during the day and not at night. So therefore, I quote to you the Tosis, who says "Kidei lemayres hamila." That sounds like Zrizim Akdilu Mitzvahs. But now I'm in deep trouble, because if Zrizim Akdilu Mitzvahs is part of the mitzvah itself, then obviously it's going to apply only within the Shas Chavasa, because I'm trying to enhance that mitzvah, and that's part of the mitzvah itself. So part of the mitzvah is to enhance the mitzvah through Zrizus. Okay, very wonderful, but not before the Shas Chavasa. In other words, if Zrizim Akdilu Mitzvah is some sort of general expression of my love for the mitzvahs, then I could say, well, start the process even before the Shas Chavoso. But if it's a detail or a requirement that's built into the mitzvah, then it should be limited to the Shas Chavoso. What was Gemara thinking as a Havamina, that when the Mohel goes out to the Mila, he should go out at night? That's not the Shas Chovoso. And if Zrizim is part of the Shas Chovoso, it's part of the mitzvah itself, it's integral, it's going to override the Shabbos, then you can't start that before the Shas Chovoso.
But you can't burn the Chametz in Tashbitu until you have assembled it. You had to have gotten it together first before you can even think about destroying it.
Right.
So you had to do it in advance.
Okay, that's okay. But I'm just saying, what did the Gemara mean to prove from Mila and the Akeva? That's how I don't understand. In other words, the Gemara is saying the following. If the reason for B'dika Liyadalit is because of Zrizus, then you're assuming that Zrizus could include the night before. I can accept that. But the Gemara rejects that. And I'll prove it to you, says the Gemara. Zrizus cannot include the night before. Because Avraham Avinu doesn't go out to the Akedah the night before, and the Mol doesn't go out to the Mila the night before. I don't get it. What's the tushta? What's the analogy? I'll tell you very well. The night before is not the Shas Chovoso, not in Karban, and not in Mila.
And now the question is...
But in B'dika, you're right, Yosef. I agree with you 100%. Why not assume that the entire day encompasses the chiyuv of Tashbisu? In other words, you have to look, that's called B'dika, and then you destroy what you find. That whole enterprise, that whole package deal, encompasses the entire day, Yudalit B'Nisan. So I want to start at the earliest time. And that's going to be early Yudalit. That's fine. But don't throw me out and say, no, Zrizim can't be over here. Why? Because of Mila and Akedah. That's not fair play. I understand very well why there's no Zrizim Akedah in the Lila of those two cases. Because that's not Shas Chovoso. The enterprise of Bir Chametz of Tashbisu, which is comprised of many different parts, it requires B'dika and then Sreifa and so forth and so on, that encompasses the entire day. So start at the earliest time of the day, which is early on Basa. That's fine. No. Kumar says it can't be. Technical foul. Why? Because I'll show you from Avraham Avinu and from Bris Milah. I'm not impressed. You haven't convinced me. I'm still skeptical. I still think that B'dikas Chametz has its reason for the limits that includes the entire day of Yudalit, beginning with the Lila. There's no separate Shas Chovoso here when the sun breaks through the horizon. You know, in the case of Mila, there's no Shas Chovoso. There's no mitzvah of Mila. You know, why don't we tell the Moel to leave a week before the Mila? That's also its reason for the limits. The answer is it's not related to Shas Chovoso. And if we assume, and I think we've proven it beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Zrizim HaKedah Mitzvah is built into the mitzvah itself, then it should be limited and restricted by the Shas Chovoso. But that has no impact and no nafkamina as far as B'dika. B'dika is fine. I don't want to wait a minute to delay my B'dika. I want to do it at the first opportune moment of Orli Arbasa, Zrizim HaKedah Mitzvah. But to reject that because of Mila and Avraham Avinu, I don't know, that's not fair play. The Peloton. So, Rabosa, I'm going to tell you something which may be right and it may be very wrong. I don't know. Just going to suggest it. The Torah says, Ach bayom harishon tashbisu. There's going to be a whole sugi here on Daf Hey to prove that the yom harishon refers to Yudalit and not to Tesvot. But that's not. What is the word bayom? So the Gemara says, ach. Ach chilek. That means in the middle of the day, you get rid of your chametz. And you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession past midday. Is it possible, therefore, that anything included in Tashbisu, i.e. the kickoff, which I call B'dika, has to be Biyom HaRishon? And what the Gemara means is that you start a process of destroying your chametz. The latest time to complete that process is going to be when? Achilek, chatzos hayom. So I'm going to give you the first 6 hours of the day. Let's say it's a perfect day. So let's say sunrise is at 6, and midday noon is at 12. I give you those 6 hours. During those 6 hours, you can do the Maisa Mitzvah of Tashbisu, but make sure that your chametz is destroyed by noon. But the entity here of Zman is the Yom. If the Torah would have said, you know, the 14th of Nisan, Tashbisu, then I can start with the Lila, because Lila is also part of the 14th of Nisan. But here the Torah says, Bayom HaRishon. And not only that, it says, Ach Bayom HaRishon, which means Ach Chilek, which means Chatzos. Then we're talking about a time period, an entity of Zman, as far as Halach is concerned, of daylight, of daytime. The 12 hours of daytime. From 6 in the morning with daybreak until 6 in the evening with Shkia Sakam. Ah, says the Gemara. If that be the case, then the night before is not the Shas Chovosa. And therefore it's Mufka from Zrizim Akhilim Mitzvahs. In other words, all our objections and all our problems with the Gemara were predicated on the one premise that the mitzvah of Tashbisu is Yudalad, that the entire day of Yudalad encompasses the chiyuv, shall I say, swallows up the entire day, which means the nighttime 12 hours, the daytime 12 hours, and therefore the Gemara says, Zrizim Akhilim Mitzvahs, let's start at night. Says the Gemara, nay, you're misunderstanding. The mitzvah of Tashbisu is not a date mitzvah, meaning on a calendar date of the 14th of Nisan. It's Bayom HaRishon, during the daylight of Bayom HaRishon. And not only during the daylight of Yom HaRishon, but we're even going to set a red bell here, you know, not beyond Ach, not beyond Chatzos. But it's on the day itself. Oh, so the day itself? Now he's telling me, well, you know what? I'm going to start this process of gathering together my chometz so that I can destroy it as soon as the stars come out on Leil Arbasa. Because I'm a Zoritz. And the Gemara thinks that if Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs should apply here, then it should apply for the entire day of the 14th. And let me start at night. V'chi Tema, why are we doing it now? Is because there's reason. No, Mitok Mitzafra. The Gemara says Mitzafra because you misunderstood it. The Shas Chovoso of Tashbisu is Mitzafra. Again, it's comprised of two different elements. One element is getting involved in the mitzvah, and the other element is completing the mitzvah, meaning the culmination is the absolute non-existence of your chametz by Chatzos Hayom. So now I can encompass the whole day, again when I say day I mean with daybreak, of Yudalid as part of the Shas Chovoso. So the Gemara says, okay, Nivdok Mitzafra. No. Maybe even before the Shas Chovoso I could advocate in favor of Zrizus. Ah, that's wrong. I'm going to prove it. There's no meaning or significance to Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs before the Shas Chovoso. And I'll prove it to you. When does Avraham Avinu go out to the Akedah? Only by Boker, because then there's a Shas Chovoso of being Makir of the Korban. When does the Moel go out of his house in order to prepare for Mila? Only by day. Why? Because Rizim Akdim LeMitzvahs is limited to a framework, to a bookends of Shas Chovoso. The earliest moment of Shas Chovoso, that's when you can be Makayim Zrizus, because that's built into the mitzvah itself. Before that, there's no Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. The Mela, if I define the mitzvah of Tashbisu as Safra, then Safra is the earliest time that I can do the B'dik. And this is going to force the Gemara to the position of Oraner, that the light of the candle is so critical that we can only, we have to establish B'dika at night itself. And then we're going to have to figure out how B'dika relates to Tashbisu during the day, and then we have the Rabbanan and the Daraisa, and it all integrates into one whole. Okay, Rabbi, so I thought that we should spend a little time on the Seder Aruch. And that's up to you. Again, this is all, everything that we do here is voluntary, right? You're not students that are registered here, and you're not getting college credits. So all that stuff that I used to live with for, I don't know how many years of my life, I was Rosh Yeshiva in Vaseret, that was 18 years, and all that, that doesn't apply. But I just felt that, you know, if we're learning Psachim Be'iyun, my own personal, you know, we call it in Hebrew Charba Haskalah, you know, something that I'd like to fill in, is a little bit more knowledge about the Mitzvah Halayla, the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and the Mitzvah Sipri Tzitzis Mitzrayim. So this is my occasion, my opportunity to learn that. And I have the Sefer called the Seder Aruch. Unfortunately, I only have the first volume. My son, Bolinetter, is going to try to get me the next volume, maybe even the third volume. So I chose to take a look at Perek Ayin Dalet. I thought it was a very good introduction to the Mitzvah of Haggadah. So basically, all I want to do is learn this with you and make some comments as we go along. Okay, then? Now, he has extensive footnotes, and he tells you where he is getting this from. So, the first paragraph, he says, Yesh lomar haggadah bi'ema u'bi'yira, v'lachein ein omrim osa bi'heseva. So here's the question that he's addressing. We have a mitzvah of Heseva, that applies during the drinking of all four cups of wine. Each one of those four cups has a Haggadah, an Amiras HaBracha that's attached to that Bracha. So we have four Amiros, respectively to the four Brachos, to the four Kosos, and the four Shtios. And the Shtio requires Heseva, but not the Amira, not the Haggadah. Now, Yesh Lachkar, I don't understand. Is he telling me A or B? The two ways of understanding what he's telling me. One way is to say that, you know what? If all things were equal, then the Haggadah, meaning the Bracha, and the Shtiyas HaKos, merge into one entity, and they both require a Seva. Notice that Seva should spill over and encompass also the Amiras Haggadah. However, we can't do that. We can't allow that to happen. It's a technical foul because Haggadah requires Ema V'Yira. The other way of understanding it is, no, forget about Ema V'Yira. Ema V'Yira is a very nice embellishment, but that's not going to undermine the real essence of the mitzvah. The real essence of Ikra Din is to have Heseva. You should do Heseva during the Amiras Haggadah. And on a different page, which I wrote a note to myself, page Resh Mem, in the same book, he says the following. This is a Me'iri in the last perek of Psachim. Masha Omru, this is the Me'iri, Psachim Daf Kuf Ches. Shedalid kosos tzrichos haseva, hadavar kolel eshtiyasam v'chein kol masha omrim al seder hakosos. Dain in kiddush, hagada, halel, uberkas hamos. So the Meiri clearly requires haseva for all these major chunks of the Haggadah. In fact, Magid itself for the second cause. From the Meiri's perspective, therefore, I submit that the Amiras HaBracha is an integral part of the Shtiyah. And if there's Halach of Haseba on the Shtiyah, then there's Halach of Haseba on the Amir itself. He says here in the footnote that the Chavis Yair also seems to accept that opinion in Simon Tov Ayin Gimel. Now again, intuitively, I could go either way. On a conceptual level, I'm very excited about this because the Meiri makes sense. We want to get a kiyum that integrates the Haggadah with the Shtiyas HaKos. And therefore, if there's, to the same extent that there's a requirement of Heseva on the Shtiyah, we're going to extend and apply that requirement of Heseva on the Amira as well. However, on a more practical level, I have a problem with this. Heseva means Derech Cherus. Heseva means Chayv Adam Liros Esatzvo. He's got to demonstrate that he's a Ben Chorin. It makes sense that he would drink something Beh Seva. Why? Because you could drink something in one of two ways. You know, if you're standing or sitting in front of someone and you're in a Pachad state, so you're not gonna do a Seva. If on the other hand you feel like you're a ben charen, you're a big shot, you're an independent fellow, then you drink bas seba. But amira? I mean, what's amira bas seba? Imagine lying down to say something. Like, when people say something, I don't think they usually recline doing so. So why do you have to demonstrate your ben cheri, that you're a ben charen, your cherus, when you're reciting, when you're reciting words? And on shtia, it was very common back in the day that you had shtia b'derech haseva. Again, for us, it's a little bit of a, you know, we're not so sociologically, we're not so in tune to this, because, you know, I don't know if anybody eats b'derech haseva today, but back in the day, it was quite popular. And if you're sitting in front of someone who's a, you know, you have awe and you have respect for him, then you don't, you know, it's not proper to do a seva.
When he says amira, does he mean just the bracha is he referring to, or does he mean the Haggadah as well?
He says Kiddush, Haggadah, Hallel, and Birkas Hamazon, all four. Yeah. Apparently, the amir itself is also an experience of Ben Chorin, of Chayv on the Liris Asaksma, according to the Meiri. And it could be that what we're seeing here in front of our eyes is also the fundamentally Meir's right, except that we have a problem of aim of the era. You know, we do have to. In other words, on the one hand, you know, it's a very paradoxical situation. On the one hand, we want to lafkin, how do you say in English, to demonstrate that we are there, we are ben chorin. But on the other hand, we're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and we're doing Hashem's mitzvah. It's an eved b'fnei rabo. Is you have to stand the aim of the era. So how do we work out this paradox? So what we say is the following. The Amir itself should be the aim of the era. You're talking to God. You know, you're doing a mitzvah in front of Hashem. However, as far as the Shtiyah is concerned, that's where Hashem tells you, you know what, demonstrate that you're Ben Chorin. And how do you do so? With Hesseva. So honestly, I'm not sure Aloch Lamaisa what we should be doing. You know, the Meiri, I think, has some very, very great merit to it, and it, you know, it should be mechayvos. But on the other hand, he has this halach of aim of yira. So I don't know how you want to sift through this. I guess you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Second paragraph. Once again, he's trying to work out this paradox, this almost inner contradiction. You want to be mekayim two things, a derech cherus, and at the same time be aim of a yira. So he says the middle pathway here, the compromise shita, is that you don't stand, because if you were standing, it would be mamish like an eved in front of his rebbe, and tonight is the Derech Cherus. But on the other hand, you're not going to do it Bas Seva, because that's already pogea, so to speak, that undermines the aim of the era. In the next paragraph, number Gimel, he says, quoting one of the great Balei Musar, he says, Yesh lomer hagadah b'mesinus u'besimcha. So the two elements here. Mesinus means, you know what, my friend, you better understand what you're saying. If you're just gobbling it up at the speed of light, which I understand really, because you're starving to death and you can't wait to get to the holubches or the kreplach, whatever it is, so then, you know, you're not going to have time to really focus on what you're saying. By the way, if I was writing this text, I'm not so concerned about the Haggadah. I'm more concerned about Shelo Tshuva. You know, the whole night is built around stimulating and arousing the curiosity of the children. If you're in a rush, you're going to miss the boat. You don't have a chance. You tell your kid to shut up, basically, because you want to get to the kreplach. So that's not the mitzvah Haggadah. The mitzvah Haggadah is to, you know, to do whatever you can to engage the children. My son has this minog. It's really crazy. He buys these little things, you know, like frogs and stuff, yeah. And like he does the whole bit. And then he dresses up as Paro, and he has a stick, and he, you know, the kids, each one comes forward as if he's Moshe or Aaron, and he gets angry at them, and it's a whole production, you know. But I, in a sense, I think that that's what it should be. I have a friend who's an Iraqi Jew. He tells me that in our Seder, we put a big basin of water on the floor, and each person, they line up one after the other, puts a matz on his shoulder, and jumps over the basin. I mean, Mamish duplicating the, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's what I think it's all about. But then he adds the word besimcha. Now, simcha is always a good thing, right? Simcha is always a part of every mitzvah. What's the din mesuyam? What's the chiddush here in the case of Haggadah? But I think the answer is that simcha plays a major role on the night of Pesach. The Rashbam is of the opinion that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, you should be drinking something intoxicating. And he derives it from Simchas Yontif. The Nafkamina, of course, is going to be grape juice. Now, I'm not telling you not to use grape juice. I'm just telling you shouldn't use grape juice. That's what I mean. Now, if you have to use grape juice, you use grape juice. But if you want to fulfill the Rashbam's opinion in Arvei Pesachim, you know, we don't really have Rashi at Arvei Pesachim. We have the Rashbam. So you need something intoxicating.
Chazanish and...
Chazanish of Yayin, you know, before you know it, you're dead drunk, you know, then you think it's Leil Purim.
Well, something Meshaker, it could be just something that is has an alcoholic content.
Right.
It could be a 5%.
Doesn't have to be 98 proof.
Right, it could be a 5% wine.
Yeah. So he says the following. I mean, if the whole purpose is to demonstrate that you're Ben Chorin, I mean, this is a great experience, right? You were an Eved for all your life, and your parents, your grandparents, it goes back 2 centuries plus, and now you've achieved freedom, and you want to celebrate that, and instead it's a Masa, you know, it's a whole, you know, they say that there were two great Rosh Hashivas in Volozhin. You know, there was the Netziv and there was Rabbi Yosher Ber Brisker. And they say that if you went to the Seder of each and one of them, you know, on different occasions, obviously, you wouldn't believe that these were two you know, religious Jews that were following the same Torah, because it was so radically different. And the Netziv, you know, his Seder was pure Simcha from beginning to the end. And the Brisker Rav was like, you know, every single thing, you know, did I eat the matzah right? Did I eat this? It was like one great big angst, you know, there was tension from the beginning of the Seder till the end, until finally got to Shana Bob Yerushalayim, and then all of a sudden they broke into a dance, you know, it was Besimcha. But this approach here, which he quotes again in the name of the Bali Musar, would seem to be the approach of the Netziv. You know, this should be a night of Simcha, a tremendous experience of liberation, of freedom. He says, "Shekein ikar asipur achedva v'asimcha shebli kol v'sapri tzisrayim v'sameach v'sipur osid l'smoch im hashchina ba'olam abo." Now this is a quote from the Zohar. It's interesting, the Mogen Avraham apparently brings this down. So suffice it to say that the night of Pesach is the great, great paradox. Eim of Yira and Simcha at the same time. This is what Chazal speak about, Vigilu Berada. So if you need a prime example of Vigilu Berada, here we have it on Leil HaSeder. What does the word Vigadata mean? So this is really strange. It seems that the Targum on the word Vigadata says v'tichve. V'tichve means to see something. Now Vigadata pashas means to speak, not to see. And the answer is, and this is the Avdei Nezer in the Sokhet Shavah, he says that the mitzvah is to show, to demonstrate. And it's very critical that the Bnei Bayis see. What do they see? So I told you before, we throw the frogs around. No. What they see is the tremendous hisrachus that a person feels when he experiences chayav adam, when he recites the Haggadah. So that's called hislavus gedola, the ofen shebnei beis yagishu kiilu sheim roim beinehem. Again, he goes very far. He says they see the nisim in front of their eyes. I wouldn't say they see the nisim, but they see how passionate you are about experiencing the night. Then he goes on to ask the question on the next page about whether you require kol ram. Well, let's say, for example, a person reads the Haggadah to himself. You know, he reads it through, you know, his eyes without enunciating it. So he quotes here the name of the Likutei Maran and the Kaf HaChaim and other Agados, that he should recite the Haggadah out loud. Now, Pashtus, what he means is that there's such a thing called passionate speech and then there's intellectual speech. You know, you give me a text, I read it. I don't get passionate about it. I try to understand the text. But then there's something that you read with a sense of passion, and it has a tremendous impact on your soul. If the goal of Haggadah is Chayav Adam Liris Asatzma Kilu Hu Atzma Yotzim Tzrayim, he doesn't read the Haggadah like he's reading a text on a pure intellectual level. He's got to read it in a very passionate way. And if you raise your voice, it has an impact on the soul. You all heard of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Yeah, he was the founder of the Musa movement. And he insisted that when they learned Musa, they raise their voice and make it passionate, make it such that it would penetrate into the soul. And here, that the agenda, the culmination of the mitzvah, the achievement, is Chayav Anu Liris Hatzmo. So then there's an inner experience. This in Brisk they used to call a Kiyum Shebalev. In fact, the Maharal Prague was way, way before Brisk. He insists that the reason we don't make a bracha on Haggadah, every mitzvah requires a bracha except for this one, meaning Asher Kitzor Mitzvah Tzimonu, he says because the whole mitzvah is belev. And on a mitzvah shebelev, we don't make a bracha. However, he offers another approach here, which is not based on Kiyum Shebelev at all, but rather in creating a remez, some sort of symbolic act that reminds us of the redemption from Mitzrayim. And when they left Mitzrayim, it was Bekol. How do we know it was Bekol? Because the Pasuk says, Vayishma Hashem es kolenu. So we want a kol here, which is going to remind us of the fact that Hashem hears our voice. I would like to add the following comment. If you look at the nusach of the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, the bracha of Gal Yisro, which is the crescendo of Magid, there's a tefillah, Kein Yagienu L'Moadim Acherim. Or for example, if you fast forward to post Seuda, we start with Shvoch Hamos Halagoyim, Ashalo Yoduch. That also is a tefillah. So it comes out that the fabric of the Haggadah is an integration of two different elements. One element is to retell the story of the past, of the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Gula. But there's another element, and that's Tefillah. Because what we're seeing today in front of our eyes is an incomplete mitzvah. We don't have the Korban Pesach, and therefore the mitzvah of Maror is basically Derabbanan Mitzvah Nitzvah. The Shana Abba B'Yerushalayim. The whole idea of experiencing the Haggadah as a petition, as a supplication to Hashem, this is an incomplete mitzvah. We want to see the complete mitzvah. We want the Geula. We want the redemption. You know, the Beis Halevi is famous for saying that the mitzvah of tzedakah plays a tremendous role in Pesach. Mos chiten, kimcha lepisach. The Beis Halevi felt that anyone who is neglect, who's derelict, he does not live up, what do you say?
Derelict.
And he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of kimcha lepisach. I'm not sure, says the Beis Halevi, if he's yotze his mitzvah. Why is tzedakah so critical? So Beis Halevi quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. That tzedakah is a skula to bring about the ultimate ge'ula. On this night of ge'ula, we are trying as much as we can to bring about the ultimate ge'ula, to complete this process, and then we'll eat the Korban Pesach. Kein yagiyeh. Is therefore we say, Hashem, I'm going to raise my voice. And this should be a remez of Ayishma Hashem es kolenu. Just like you heard my voice when I was in Mitzrayim, you should hear my voice today. I'm also praying for the Geul. The Chassam Sofer says that even though he generally has a slavos in mitzvahs, it's always pnimit. Pnimit means you don't see it on the outside. However, when it comes to the Haggadah, he used to say it out loud. It wasn't pnimi, it was external, it was visible and accessible to everyone around him. B'kol chotzev la'avot esh ad shahayu nishma b'lirochok b'kiryas chutzos. They could hear his voice at a distance. Obviously then, this is a special halacha in Pesach, in Sefer Tzitzchayim. I don't know if it's because of the hype, as we said before, to passionately get yourself involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim, or it's because we're asking Hashem to hear our call. Just one more paragraph and I'll let you go. HaMesaper b'Yetzias Mitzrayim tzorch lahovin mashu mesaper. This is a real problem. I mean, the people who just simply read it through, they have no clue what they're saying. In such a case, I would encourage using English Haggadahs. There's no Gzeiras HaKosav, the Haggadah has to be recited in Lashon Kodesh. He goes as far as to say that if he recites the whole Haggadah and he doesn't understand what he's saying, it's worthless. Lo yotze yedei chovasa. V'itam zeh yesh omrim holach ma'anyu ma'anishtana b'loshon amadu beres. Why was Halach Ma'anya translated into the vernacular at that time, which was, of course, Aramid? It's because what's crucial is that we understand it. And if that's our vernacular, that's how we're going to say it.
So that's the problem
today. When most people
don't understand Aramaic.
Don't understand
Aramaic? No, Aramaic.
Oh, yeah.
It's the opposite.
Right. Okay, Rav, also we'll stop here. But this is all an experiment. You know, you have to tell me if you enjoyed this, if you enjoyed that. I like this Seder Aruch. Right? It gets my mind. It stimulates my mind. Are there any extra copies that I could save here? That no one's using.
Several copies.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
What was the handout yesterday?
Trying to remember. Let me give me a second. You know, yesterday is already Kedei Shichacha. It's already 24 hours.
Is this one that you're just holding right now? That's not what I have.
No, this one is what you have now. Ofen Amiras Hagod.
But
you didn't get this?
No.
Oh, so do me a favor. Take... These are a few copies, so just take, I think, if it's double sided, it'll be 2 pages.
What is this? Shile Pinchas.
Oh, that was a Chumash class I gave.
Okay.
Here, this, what you're holding on
is
this.
Wait, there are a whole bunch of copies here.
All right, so take one. You don't have to take more or the whole bunch.
Right, I have it.
You have
it? I just took it.
Great, and is it stapled?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
Shkaya.